Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service this morning. We are so glad to have you here with us today. We're going to start out this morning with a song you may recognize. It's entitled Joy to the World. And we usually sing Joy to the World when?
Christmas.
At Christmas. But you know something? Joy to the World is just as applicable to what we're looking at today on what we call Palm Sunday or the triumphant entry of Christ, as it is applicable to Christmas. So let's start this morning with Joy to the World, hymn 87, or you can look up here and follow along as we sing. Standing, please, if you can. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Brother Ian, would you open our service with a word of prayer today?
Lord, we just thank you we can gather here today and worship you, and just as we come up on Easter Sunday next week, just help us, Lord, to remember the babe born in a manger didn't stay there, but grew as a man and sacrificially gave his life for us so we could know him and spend eternity with him. And just, Lord, as we learned in Sunday school, help us to be the
Amen. You may be seated, but if you're using the hymn book, please keep it out and turn to hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. All praise to Him who reigns above.
Thank you.
last verse in particular, his name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conquer, whose reign shall never cease. That has a lot to do with our message this morning. It has a little bit to do with Palm Sunday, as you see palm branches strewn around. I never did this, but Jules has a knack for decorating, so we have palm branches this morning to remind us about Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk in just a few minutes what that is about. You may not know. If you don't, we'll learn today together from God's Word. But first, if you have a bulletin, we're going to look quickly at some announcements this morning. please be in prayer for Adam and Jody Pittman. These are our missionaries of the week. They are in the Dominican Republic. They have a very good ministry there with some other couples and looking to branch out and to start plant another church. And so please keep them in your prayers as they minister there in the Dominican Republic. Their email address is there if you'd like to email them this week. And I'm sure they would be glad to hear from somebody in the church just saying, hey, you're a missionary of the week. We're praying for you. That would mean a lot to them. Over on the right side, this morning's message, who is this Jesus? Matthew 21:9 says, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is what was proclaimed by a crowd as Jesus rode into the gates of Jerusalem on this day back 2,000 or so years ago. And there is a lot of significance in this verse and in what was going on that day. And so we're going to look at that. We'll be reading from Matthew 21 to start this morning. If you want to find Matthew 21 and mark it, we'll be there in just a few minutes. Sunday school, we are studying in Sunday school about how to be a good soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope if you can get up just a little sooner and get here at 10, you'll come and join us because this is very, 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 I don't know how many varies I need to add, important. It is very important that people hear the gospel. And it has been left up to us, all of us who know Jesus Christ, to tell others that they might know. Because if we don't tell them, then who is? Who is? They need to hear. And so come and join us. Just get up a little early and come and join us for Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings if you can as we continue our study over the next several weeks on being a good soul winner. Please come back and join us for the service tonight at 6 o'clock. We do have a missions committee following the evening service tonight as well. Joy Club on Wednesday night at 6:30 as usual, and Thursday Bible study also. Mark your calendar, a few things coming up. First of all, next Sunday is Easter, or Resurrection Sunday. We will be celebrating at our regularly scheduled 10 a.m. Sunday school and 11 a.m. morning worship, but there will be no Sunday p.m. service. So made it the habit the last few years on holidays to have our morning services, but not the evening service. So no evening service next Sunday night. Please take note of that, and please come join us for Sunday morning. We'll be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, along with that, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper as well. And so I hope you'll come and join us for that next Sunday morning. And then Ladies Card Making Fellowship for Missions Conference. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. There are plenty of places to sign in. And ladies, you don't have to be a card maker. You don't have to be crafty, so to speak. You don't have to have supplies. Most of that will be provided you. And you can just come and have a good time of fellowship and follow suit with the others. And you'll be able to be a part of ministering to the missionaries and their families that we're having come for Missions Conference. So please take note of that. If you have any questions, you can ask my wife or Miss Barbara, and they will fill you in concerning that. And don't forget to sign up. Annual Faith Promise Missions Conference is the end of this month, April 29th and 30th. We have, I think, three missionaries coming. who will be presenting their ministries. I'm looking forward to hearing from them. I hope you can join us to hear what the Lord is doing in their ministry, in their life. One of them are Joe and Bonnie Valentin. We already support them with Bibles International. He is the project coordinator for over a dozen translation projects going on all over the world, translating the Bible into native tongues of people who need to hear about the Lord. And a wonderful ministry, and I'm sure you'd like to hear more about that, so come and join us for the services. They start on Saturday with our International Supper at 5:30, and then all the services on Sunday on the 30th. Please take note of the birthdays in April, and please take some more tracts. I added some. We didn't have very many left on the table, so I added more to it. So please take them all. I have plenty more to add, okay? And so please take those tracts, hand them out, tell others about Jesus. One way we can be soul winners is by simply handing tracts to people that need the Lord, or we don't know may need the Lord, and let them have the opportunity to read about the gospel themselves. All right. I think that's all the announcements I have, so let's sing another song. This one's entitled, He is Lord. We're going to sing the first verse of this, and then we're going to have an opportunity to welcome others nearby to our service today. If you would, please stand to sing with me, He is Lord.
He is Lord.
You may be seated, but we are going to sing another song at this time. It's entitled, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Again, you say, but Pastor, that's a Christmas song. Not actually so much. Joy of the World and O Come, Emmanuel are more of a Palm Sunday song than they are of a Christmas song. And we'll see a little bit more of that explanation as we look into the Scriptures today. So if you sing with me, it's 83 in your hymn book, or you can just look up here, O Come, Emmanuel. At this time, Kate and Emily are going to play a song entitled Lamb of Glory. And I'll put the words up here so you can follow along. Thank you. Go ahead, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to begin reading this morning in verse 1, titled in message, Who is this Jesus? Who is this person that is the object of such acclaim, such praise on this day that we're going to read about, that we are reminded of today, it being Palm Sunday? Matthew 21, 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against us, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Zion is another name for Jerusalem, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass and the colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for who you are, for your love for us that drove you to come to this earth, Lord, to die on the cross for our sins, to redeem us, to make us part of your family and your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for that blessed opportunity, for those who shared that news with us, that we might be saved and become the children of God. And we pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's unsure about their standing with you, Lord, that they would not leave in such a condition today. And we pray, Lord, that you would work mightily in our hearts through your word, and your Holy Spirit would use it to open our eyes and to draw us to the one who loves us so. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The gospel is not a message about a new religion. It's not a new method or a new list of rules or a new invention or philosophy or cause. The gospel is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. What fundamental doctrine could be more vital than the identity of the central figure of all that we believe? And so through the centuries and in recent times, the devil has attacked Christianity time and again by attacking the character and identity and work of Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, there is no gospel. Apart from Jesus, there is no way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. Again, what we believe is not a list, it's not a religion, it's a person. And that person is the Son of God. Who is this person riding in Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey to the praise of many gathered to welcome Him with clothes and palm branches strewn before Him like a red carpet, like a conquering king? Why are they praising Him in such grand fashion? Well, that's what we want to answer this morning. Why are they praising Him? Why are they laying branches down before Him? Why are they crying, Hosanna to the Son of David? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why are they doing this? What is so special about this man? What is so special about this day? Well, if you know the context and if you know the Old Testament scriptures, you'll know why this day was so long awaited by the Jews and such an important day to all of us. First of all, who is this man? Well, this man is God. He's not just a man, he's God and the Son of God. He is not less than the Father. He is one with the Father, as he explains in the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen who? The Father. There is no difference. They are one in the same. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. In John 1, 1 through 3, Jesus tells us about eternity, the eternity past of the Son, here called the Word, emphasizing how Jesus is the revelation of God to man, and how that the Word was with God, and furthermore was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. When it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the word God there translated into English from Greek is not two different words, it's the same one, theos. It means God. And as hard as it may be for us to comprehend how Christ could be with God and be God at the same time, it is the eternal truth of the Trinity. Three in what? One, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was both with God in heaven, and He was God in eternity past. Just to make the doctrine undeniably clear, we are told that the Son, here called the Word, is the Creator of all things. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, who do we know from the Bible is the maker of all things? Well, Colossians 1:16 and 17 again say it's Jesus. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Does that leave any doubt? Is there anything that was created in this universe that wasn't created by Jesus? The answer is no. All things were created by Him and for Him. Now, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2. In the beginning, who created the heavens and the earth? Tell me. God did. God did. These verses tell us who did. Jesus did. What does that mean? Well, that means this. Jesus is who? Jesus is God. He is not less than God. He is equal with the Father. He is God. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, when it speaks of in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the Hebrew uses the word Elohim. It means God or Supreme One. But in chapter 2, it says Lord God, Lord in all capital letters. That's the name Jehovah. That name is unique to only one being in all of the universe. The I am that I am, that is eternal, and that made all things. That's God. What does Jesus' name mean? You shall have a son and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Because that's who he is. He is Jehovah. And he is the one who brings what? Salvation. Deliverance. He is God. Second of all, he is not only God, but he is also man. The Son of Man. Favorite title of Jesus for himself, to remind us that not only is Jesus God, but uniquely, he is the only God-man, born of a woman. In John 1:14, it says this, just a few verses later from John 1:1 and 3 we read, it says, and the Word, again speaking of Jesus, was made what? Was made flesh. What did that mean? What does that mean? That means God became a man. God became one of who? One of us. Incredible to think about. The Creator of the universe, the Supreme Lord of all, chose to become a creature, to become one of us. Why? That he might redeem us, that he might save us from our sin and ourselves. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became flesh, he dwelt among us so we could behold God, yet being sinful, immortal beings, and get to know him personally. That's what the gospel writers write about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're telling you the story about how they walked and talked and got to know who? God in the flesh. How amazing. How wonderful that would have been. One day, we will have that opportunity as well. We'll see him in heaven. And we'll have that opportunity to get to know him in the flesh as well. But you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to get to know who? Jesus. He is the living Word. This is the what? This is the written Word. And you can get to know him now by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And their record of him. And the rest of God's Word. And they tell us that one day we will see him face to face, as did they, and even more so. So how did God, the Son, the Word, become flesh? Well, we're told in Philippians 2 that he chose to leave heaven and come to earth, become a man, a creature, that he might die on the cross for us. Couldn't die on the cross for us if he wasn't one of us. So he had to become one of us to die for us. He willingly decided to do that. In Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35, the angel announces to Mary how that this is going to be and how she is part of it all. Luke 1 and verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and breathe forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How did Jesus come into the world? As the seed of the woman. Not the man, but just the what? Just the woman. Just the woman. As prophesied way back in Genesis 3:15, when God said to Satan that the seed of the woman one day would come into this world and crush or bruise the head of the serpent, which is him. He promised Satan, this is not the end of it, Satan. You may think you have won this battle in deceiving Adam and Eve into sin and getting them cast out of my garden, but you have not won the what? The war. And one day the seed of the woman is going to defeat you. We're told in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a what? A woman. And not a man. We're assured in Isaiah 7:14 that the Messiah, this king, this one who would come and defeat the plans of Satan, that he would be born specifically of a virgin. This was repeated by the angel of the Lord to Joseph in a dream concerning Jesus just before he was born. In Matthew 1:23, this is what the angel said to Joseph as he repeats this promise in Isaiah 7. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus came into this world unlike anybody else ever has, without a man. He was uniquely born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. Just like Isaiah foretold 700 years earlier. He is God. He is man. He is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And next, he is king. He is king. He is the Hebrew Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed one, or in Greek, it's translated as Christ. Every time you say Jesus Christ, you are saying Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the anointed one, the appointed one by God to redeem fallen mankind, to be King of kings and Lord of lords over this redeemed world, to conquer the prince and power of the air, Satan, and to win us back. So, we are also told hundreds of years before the birth of Christ in Isaiah, these words in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, concerning this child. It says concerning this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Unto us a child is born. How is this child described? He is called, interestingly, the Mighty God, the Everlasting what? Father. Who does that describe? That describes Jesus. Jesus, who is man, and Jesus, who is God. A child who was born, who is the Mighty God, and also the Everlasting Father. Furthermore, this child will institute, establish an everlasting government of justice and righteousness. Now, has man been trying to do that for thousands of years? And has he not utterly failed over and over and over again? Israel failed. Others have failed, including ourselves. This everlasting government, this righteous kingdom, will only come when the righteous king returns. And he will return. He's not finished yet. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will return to establish his kingdom forever, not based solely on might and power, but on justice and righteousness for all mankind. People cry for peace, peace, and peace, but there is no peace. We can't go a year without a war in this world. Always a war going on. Why haven't we learned? We're sinful human beings. But Jesus Christ is not a sinful human being. He is the righteous human being. And he is the God and Lord of all. Not only will this child rule an everlasting and righteous kingdom, but will do so from the throne of who? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Now, who is David? Well, David was King David, the king of a united Israel. This verse, the one we read in Luke, both indicate that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the child who is to be born, will have the seat of his government in a city called the city of David, Jerusalem. Not only will his seat of government be in Jerusalem, but he will be a descendant of who? In the flesh, of King David. Without that, this prophecy is not fulfilled. This is a fulfillment of a promise given to David himself in 2 Samuel 7. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed, thy offspring after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, how long? Forever. Forever. Now, who is God speaking of? Is he speaking of Solomon alone? The answer is no. Solomon failed. Solomon died. His kingdom didn't last forever. Even the descendants who followed him failed. Who is this prophecy speaking of? It's speaking of one who will descend from David. A grandson, a great-grandson, a great-great-grandson, a great-great... On we go. But a descendant, a seed of David, who would one day be born into this world, whose kingdom would be established forever, and who would rule from the throne of his father, David. We call him the Messiah, or the Christ. When Matthew wrote his gospel, he wanted to emphasize how important it was that the Messiah be a descendant of who? David. And so what did Matthew start his gospel with? He started it with a genealogy. That seems like an odd way to start a biography. Well, maybe not so much. But he started it with a genealogy. And what does the genealogy do? It ties Jesus to who? It ties Jesus to David. Now, the genealogy in Matthew is the genealogy of Joseph, Jesus' legal father, but not his what? Biological father. But if you turn over to Luke 3, and we don't have time to do that this morning, you can look at the genealogy of Mary. And guess where her genealogy goes back to? David. It too goes back through David. Both of them. Joseph, the descendant of Solomon, David's son. Mary, the descendant of Nathan, David's son. Jesus is not only biologically the son of David, but legally through Joseph, the heir apparent to the throne of Israel. That is who Jesus is. We are told the place of his birth in Micah 5:2, Bethlehem. So what does Luke do? He records how Jesus of Nazareth ended up being born where? In Bethlehem. And tells us the story of how, because the emperor wanted there to be a census and taxes taken, they were ordered to go back to their home city from which their family came, and that just happened to be Bethlehem for Joseph and Mary. And so that's where Jesus was born. In Daniel 9:25, stick with me just a little longer. There's a lot of verses, but this is important where we're headed this morning. Daniel 9:25 reads this way. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth to the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. When the throne of Judah, David's descendants, finally failed, it fell to King who? Long name. Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar came and just utterly destroyed Jerusalem. Destroyed the temple. Israel went into captivity. And for 70 years, they didn't return to Jerusalem. But after 70 years, as Jeremiah prophesied, they were sent back to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the walls. And Daniel says here, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah the Prince shall be, and this amounts to 483 years. 69 sets of 7 years. A week there doesn't mean a set of 7 days, but a set of 7 years. 69 times 7 comes up to 483 years. What are we given here by Daniel? We're giving a time frame for the coming of who? The Messiah to Jerusalem. Daniel tells us that from the going forth of the command to rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah, the king, will be 483 years. So if you count them, 483 years from the time Israel was sent back to rebuild Jerusalem to seemingly the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, proclaiming himself to be who? The Messiah. And to the acclaim and applause of the people there that day, is 483 years. Just like Daniel had prophesied. He is God, He is man, He is king, and on this day that we celebrate, He declared Himself to all of Jerusalem to be their long-awaited Messiah. And that's what we just read about in Matthew 21. Why is the manner in which he entered Jerusalem of importance? He rode into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey that had never been ridden before. What is the significance? Well, first of all, the irony. Jesus didn't come into Jerusalem riding a white stallion, did he? No, he came humbly, riding on the back of a burro. That's how he entered Jerusalem. He didn't come the first time as the conquering king, though he is. But he came humbly as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Zechariah, hundreds of years before, we learn that the Messiah will identify himself as such, by riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey never ridden before. There's the prophecy. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt the foal of an ass. How did Zechariah say that Israel would know their Messiah? Because he was going to come into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. On a particular day, 483 years, as Daniel prophesied. And they would know when they saw him coming through the gate of Jerusalem in the fashion as Zechariah prophesied hundreds of years before. The crowd that day recognized and received their Messiah, Jesus Christ, with great fanfare. They testified to His identity by proclaiming this, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. They were alluding to Psalm 118. We call this a messianic psalm because it prophesies in this psalm concerning the Messiah, Jesus. And in this psalm it says, Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now, they said, Hosanna. Hosanna is Hebrew for, save now, I beseech thee. So if you look in the Hebrew at, save now, I beseech thee, it's pronounced in Hebrew, Hosanna. They were quoting this verse. They were saying, we acknowledge that you are our what? Messiah. The King of kings and Lord of lords. The one promised to come to save our people. They recognized Zechariah 9:9. They recognized Daniel 9:25. They recognized 2 Samuel 7. And they recognized Jesus. As they rolled out the red carpet, so to speak, for the king, coming through the gates into his city, a grand reception, Palm Sunday, we call it, for the king had come. Joy to the world, the Lord has what? Come. Let earth receive her king. O come, Emmanuel. And he had come. This is what we celebrate today. The coming of the Messiah. The identity of the King. But just a few days later, the crowd would be chanting something different. And it would be crucify him. Crucify him. Just a few days later. Why? Because they didn't understand an important part of the ministry of the king. And that is, before he could have a kingdom, before he could take his throne, he had to have subjects. And he had none. Until Jesus died on that cross, until he shed his blood to redeem fallen mankind who'd been taken hostage by Satan and sin. Until Christ died on that cross and rose again from the dead, there were no subjects. They were part of Satan's kingdom. But when Jesus gave himself on that cross, and he took upon him the suffering that should have been ours, he made the way through faith in him for all who come to him in repentance to be saved. To become the children of who? The children of God. Isaiah 53 tells us, and I guess the people that day missed this passage, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Before he could reign, he had to suffer for us. And suffer he did. As the crowd that proclaimed the king turned on him by the end of the week and instead cried out, crucify him. They expected him to rout out the Romans, but he didn't come to save men from Romans. He came to save men from sin and hell. Not just them, but us. And then he rose again from the dead. He rose again to demonstrate his power to save. He rose again to take his rightful place as King of kings and Lord of lords at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and will one day here on earth. And as he offers to all salvation, who will receive him as their Lord and bow before him as their King, he does also offer them a place in his kingdom. A place in his family, eternal life in a place called heaven, and forgiveness for all their sin. And that includes you. How did John identify him in John 1? Not as the Lion of Judah, but as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he will take away yours. Romans 10:9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In John 1:11-12, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe on him as the Son of God. Believe on him as the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, who died on a cross for your sins and is risen again from the dead to offer you eternal life in him. Have you? Will you? He will save your soul. He can change your life. Only he can forgive you of all your sin. If you're here this morning and you do not know him as Lord and Savior, if you do not have the assurance that you are part of his kingdom and that he is your king and your Lord, I plead with you today as we sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. I'll meet you down here. I'll show you from God's word how you can be saved and know it. And you don't have to leave here not knowing today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is also our soon coming King. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your promises and sending your Son, Israel's Messiah and our Savior. We pray, Lord, if there be one here today that has yet to trust Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of their life, we do pray, Lord, today, that before they leave this place, they would make that decision. Make that sure. And Lord, we thank you for your love and the opportunity you've given us to share it with one another today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You take your hymn books, and if you would, turn 252. I don't have it on the screen. 252. And if you would, please stand with me to sing. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. Please come as we sing. I'll meet you down here if you're unsure today.
Oh,
Just because we quit singing doesn't mean our invitation is closed. So if you need to talk or prayer, please come speak with me. And I hope that you will consider, if you're not sure of your salvation, to trust Christ today. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the offer of salvation despite ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done, you could only do. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be the messengers to a lost and dying world who needs to hear about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.